Welcome back to the Leaders Huddle podcast. Before we get started with this week's episode, we have a few housekeeping notes. It's the summertime, which naturally means PCSing and transitions to new jobs or PME schools. Hopefully you've got some time carved out for your own professional development. This podcast and others are great tools to use as professional development while you're traveling. The production team is interested in creating content that you, our audience, wants to hear about. The best way to do that is through leaving a suggestion in the form of a rating / review on iTunes. Reviews support the podcast growth and listenership to spread this free resource to other aspiring leaders. Secondly, check us out on Twitter. Our handle is @leaders_huddle and our Facebook page, Leaders Huddle. There you can find links to our episode while we share other thought-provoking content on the topic of leadership. Without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. If you are en route to your initial training course or your first unit as an officer, this is the episode for you. The actions you take before you arrive are critical to your success. Your preparation for arriving to your first unit and the beginning of career starts today. This is Leaders Huddle episode number 27. You've commissioned, now what? Welcome to the Leaders Huddle podcast. Through this podcast, our goal is to educate and inspire the current generation of company-grade officers through advancing the discussion of leadership, professionalism, and building high-performing organizations. I'm Captain David Wirt. Today, my co-host is Captain Dave Laura. So first, we'd like to congratulate the thousands of second lieutenants who are commissioned in the military this year. Your commissioning source has entrusted you to execute command policy and join our time-honored profession. There are many paths to commissioning, and this episode is crafted to prepare every new officer for their assignment. This podcast will answer specific questions received from our cadets and include recommendations from the Army Officer's Guide it's the 50th edition by Lieutenant Colonel Keith E. Bond. You can find that at most military clothing and service sites at PXs, and I'm sure online as well. This list is not all-inclusive, but serves as a starting point, and we believe following this advice can help get you a head start on beginning your career.
So we broke this episode up into four different sections of things that you should be thinking about on your way to your first unit or to your first training as an officer. The first section is, what do you need to have when you get there? So these are hard items that you need to bring before you get there. Second section are actions that you need to take. So these are things that you need to do before you get there. Third is, what do you need to learn? So this is how you're going to educate yourself on the basics. And the fourth section is, as soon as you arrive, this is what you should be doing. So again, that's what are you going to bring? Two, actions you're going to take. Three, what do you need to learn before you get there? And four, as soon as you arrive, what do you need to do? Starting with section one. So these are, again, hard things that you need to have. So you're ready either when you get to BOLIC, this is your officer training course, or to your very first unit. First in that, administrative information. It's critical by this point that you already have a referred to as a I Love Me books. This is something that includes all of your commissioning paperwork, your certifications that you already have from every small class you took, even a couple days long or 40 hours long, your DA-31s, which is your leave form, your orders for the unit that you're going to. For me, I like to bring at least 10 copies of each of them because you're going to give them to every section that you report to during in processing. I like to keep those also until I leave that unit. For some folks, a marriage certificate or any changes that you have that would affect your pay along the way, critical to have so that you're ready when you arrive at your very first unit. So when you're PCSing, make sure you keep that stuff in the car with you and don't give that away to the movers. Additionally, in the next section, in regards to just transportation, so you're going to get paid. The Army's going to pay for you while you're moving. They're going to give you per diem. They're going to give you mileage along the way. But you have responsibility here to keep your weight tickets when they're full and empty if you're already approved to do a do-it-yourself move, but also to keep your receipts as you're moving along. That's critical because those actually can be audited for several years after you conduct a PCS. Next, uniforms. This is what you should actually have. Be ready so that on day one, if your sponsor calls you and says, hey, you need to come into the unit now, we're doing a battalion run, or you know, you're going to go qualify today, you should have your uniforms ready. So for this year, 2017, that definitely means OCPs. You need to show up to your unit already having your new unit patch shouldn't be tough to get from wherever you're leaving. But also clean uniform that's ready to go, and lots of PTs. Lastly, the thing that you need to have when you show up to your first unit is fitness. And you're going to be taking leave and vacation and going to see family and friends and potentially leaving Bolek, which might not have been that physically strenuous. But again, you should be ready for day one as an Army officer or whatever service you're in to be able to show up and take a physical fitness test and perform very well on day one.
All right, Dave, for our next section, we highlighted actions to take while in transition to Bolek or also in transition from Bolek to your first duty station. And we recommend staying in contact with your sponsor, calling your brigade or battalion S1, and writing a letter. Can you elaborate on those?
Yeah, so critical to that is staying in touch with your sponsor. So every soldier, before they're issued orders, should have a sponsor in writing on a Department of the Army form. Whoever that person is, you should be reaching out to them and pulling them for information as much as you can get before you arrive. You don't want to be a pain at that point, but really their role as appointed by their commander or the battalion XO potentially is to set you up for success. So you should be in contact with them about where you're going on leave. Certainly if you're going outside of the U.S. for leave, your arrival time frame, what you don't want to happen, you can imagine, is the battalion XO or commander asking your sponsor when you're arriving, and they say, I don't know, it's been radio silence for days or weeks. So stay in contact with that person. Additionally, with a brigade or battalion S1, that's really how you can find it, your pinpoint assignment. And that's really the purpose of one of the purposes of the brigade S1 and battalion S1. They're very prepared to do that. And again, they want to help you out. That onboarding process is primarily their responsibility. So they want to make sure you're ready for success. So you can find most of their contact information either through Facebook or through their Army page for your brigade. But again, reach out to them as soon as you can. David, I wanted to get your thoughts on writing a letter. I know there's different schools of thought here, but clearly something that the old Army Officer's Guide 50th edition recommends. I just want to see if you have any experience.
So I wrote, as a lieutenant, I wrote a email, Word document email, sent it to my battalion commander as a lieutenant, and then when I was moving PCSing from the career course to my battalion as a captain, I wrote a one-page memorandum to attach it in the email. And I think that shows that you really care. You're introducing yourself. It doesn't have to be anything formal. If you really want to impress your new battalion commander, I guess you could write handwritten stationery. But I think going back to writing, getting in contact with your battalion S1, seeing what the battalion commander prefers, definitely contact your battalion S1, write a letter to your battalion commander. One-page introduction saying, this is me, this is where I commissioned from, potentially what I studied. If you have any change in plans of your report date because you're going to follow-on schools, include that. If you have a family, include that. And really highlight the fact that you are excited to join their unit and become a member of their team.
So I would agree with all that, and I would also say that I've been in a situation a couple times that I reported to a battalion, and my battalion commander sent me a letter in the mail that they signed and the sergeant major signed. So when I received that, I knew that they were expecting something back. And out of several captains that arrived that year, I was one of few that actually did that. If you get that in the mail, then they're asking for a response.
I think the most important thing, Dave, is it helps put a name to the face, because the battalion commanders, when they receive all the incoming inbound orders, they just have your name and your MOS. They may have your commissioning source, but they don't know necessarily who you are. And if they can put a name to that letter, I think, and you probably would agree, that it puts a name to the face and helps you stand out amongst your peers.
So moving on here in this section of actions that you need to take before you arrive are some things that you can do while you're en route. The next one is the housing wait list. So if you want to live on post, then as soon as you have orders, you should be able to get onto the housing wait list or notify the local housing office that you want to live on post. There are Facebook pages, lots of them that exist, that where you can do some recon and ask folks what it's like to live on post. You can definitely call ahead and ask your sponsor too, you know, who lives on post, what are the schools like. That is really one of the formal roles of your sponsor, is to be able to discuss with you, you know, opportunities for where you could live. But housing waitlist is critical. And if you're doing that the day you arrive, then sometimes you're behind the eight ball, especially if you're arriving during the summer. The next recommendation for actions to take before you arrive is really as soon as you get there. So once you get to your post, you're going to be expected to sign in with a Brigade S1 or potentially with a division in processing center. But you should be doing a recon at this point. Because as soon as your battalion commander knows that you're on the ground, or your battalion S1 knows that you're on the ground at your new duty station, they're going to expect you in the next couple days to come see them. So what you need to do at this point is go see where they are, see exactly where you'd have to park. What I normally do is go after hours, so there's no chance I'm going to run into my future battalion XL while I'm driving around in civilian clothes. But that's definitely a course of action. Recommend that, again, doing a recon so that when you're future company commander says, meet me here at 09 on this day so I can walk you around and introduce you, that there's no chance that you're late for any of that. Lastly, on the way to your first unit, same in the conduct reconnaissance arena here, is find accessible information about your unit. So if there's information about your unit, your battalion, or your brigade that's accessible through social media or through the Army lineage, then you should have that information. If it's already put out there for you, then there's no reason that you shouldn't know that your unit just returned from JRTC, or they just had a change of command, or that they're going to Europe for a training event. Specifically inside of that, when you're looking up information on your unit, you should understand at least part of the unit history, but definitely their lineage and motto, and some divisions definitely require you to know the song as soon as you arrive. So critical for your success and very easy to do while you're driving to your next duty station.
Okay, so after you've looked at some actions to take and developed a game plan, we're going to move on to how you can educate yourself on the basics, not just about the basics of your specific battalion, brigade, or division, or your post, but also some professional education that you can do en route while you're traveling or you got some free time during your permissive TDY. So the first thing we're talking about here is knowing manuals and regulations. So you won't know every aspect of your battalion tax op, and you probably won't have access to it. And just to make sure we're understanding all the acronyms, that's tactical SOP, that's unit specific to how the battalion operates in the field and in garrison. But knowing those specific basics on your branch specific doctrinal, you know, foundations that you get in Bullock, those are the baseline expectations you'll need to know. So let's move on to writing. And Dave, this is something that definitely trips up a lot of junior officers. I know I struggled with it. I'm an engineer. I'm a dumb engineer who just knows how to do math and project management. So writing my first award or NCOERs was definitely a struggle. So how can our listeners really prepare to become professional military writers?
I think key for this is really understanding what your unit expects of you. So, but on the way before you actually arrive, you could find the DA Form 638, which is the recommendation for an award. Get familiar with counseling, Army regulation, because you're going to be expected to do those things within 60, definitely within 90 days of getting to your new unit, depending on what position you're in. But that's, again, research that you can do on Army regulations. And the other resource that you have is the Guide to Effective Military Writing. And this is by William McIntosh. I have the third edition with us today, but this is, again, something that's found regularly in the PX, Military Clothing Sales, which is the Guide to Effective Military Writing. So critical, and that talks about writing counseling forms, Army memorandums and letters, which is Army Regulation 25-50. Again, something that you can easily look at and become familiar with so you're ready day one when you arrive.
25-50 to your desktop. You want to impress the Battalion XR, Battalion S3, or even your company commander. Make sure your memorandums are squared away. And honestly, I would encourage you, if you're interested in writing, to check out a fellow digital learning network, the Military Writers Guild, and they've got multiple different supported blogs like the Strategy Bridge, the Military Leader, From the Green Notebook. We've interviewed most of those specific bloggers, and they all advocate for writing as a form of your own professional development to become more articulate and express your thoughts. Moving on to a little more specific stuff like garrison regulations. Every garrison in the Army has, I think, general regulations that dictate from installation management command, but there's some specific to each garrison. And we kind of all make jest of some of the wildlife regulations down in the Southeast, like the red-cockaded woodpecker and how protected they are and how they can limit some training. But let's talk about some garrison regulations specifically for in processing when it comes to our outdoorsmen listeners that like to have some firearms. And
specifically with garrison regulations, I'm not going to specifically identify which ones I've violated here, but ones that are always critical for you to know. And you can usually find these on the garrison website, so you can know before you arrive. Even if you're not familiar with the state regulation on weapons or what crime is like, you can go to your garrison website and you can find out what they expect from personally owned weapons, where they need to be held, how they need to be secured. Prohibited locations, too. That can be a gas station right off post. Just because it's close by does not mean that the garrison commander prohibited all service members and their families from going there. Lastly, there, again, might be some specific expectations for officers, and certainly things for that you might not think of if you have children. Or if you have children, then there are specific policy letters on curfew and where children can go on post, too. So definitely something to be familiar with before you arrive, because you're going to be held accountable either way.
And just to remind you, the good thing about most installations and their reception programs is that they do have a member of the garrison command team or garrison office that will come out and have a lot of those briefings and touch points. And it's honestly, a lot of the times, it's not one of those things you regularly look up until someone gets in trouble. But it's good to know where you can reference that. I'm going to put in a plug here for some from professional and personal development while you're traveling during the summer, specifically in the podcast realm, and three different podcasts that I advocate and listen to and have interacted with on social media. One is the Entree Leadership Podcast by Dave Ramsey's company, Ramsey Solution. The other one is The Learning Leader. I just found this one out. It's by a former NFL player, Ryan Hawk. He interviews a lot of thought leaders in the realms of leadership. And then Coaching for Leaders by Dave Stachowiak. They both have multiple hundreds of episodes and can fill your iPod and however you listen to podcasts, and can help get you through some of those road trips and help you learn while you're driving. Okay, lastly, we're going to wrap up this episode by talking about some of those actions when you in process to your first unit that you should immediately take when you arrive.
Broken up into two separate portions here. First, family, and the second one that we're going to discuss is unit. So family specific, really the bottom line here is make sure that your family is set up, your house is set up before you really report into work. The first step for most folks is taking permissive TDY. So that's permissive TDY for house hunting. So if you have not yet signed a lease with a location, you haven't decided as a family yet where you're going to live, then you would still be eligible for permissive TDY before you actually begin in processing. That has to be signed by a lieutenant colonel or above. So you can either have the approval for that when you leave Bolick or your previous unit, or as soon as you arrive, you can ask for that from your battalion commander. With that, some steps to take to set up your family, ensuring that your BAH is correct with your new location, your new duty station. Notifying TRICARE when you arrive to another region, and that's really critical. A lot of folks learn that the hard way when they go to the hospital, or their dependent goes to the hospital for the first time and they realize they don't have a primary care manager assigned yet, and TRICARE is tracking them in a different region. So no matter where you move to, it doesn't hurt to call TRICARE, and they're going to have you set up a new primary care manager and make sure you're in the right region and you know who to contact if you end up going to an emergency room or a clinic off post. The second portion of this to do immediately when you arrive is really focused on your unit. Critical to this portion is identifying what is the mission of your unit and the level that you're going to be at, whether you're a platoon, company, or if you're working at the battalion staff, what is the mission there? Part of that conversation should be about what is the METAL, the Mission Essential Task List. So what is your unit, whatever size you're working at, what are they really asked to do on behalf of the Army? But understanding that is critical when you enter into a unit, before you start doing anything else, the whole. Second to that, in regards to understanding your unit is, what is your unit currently training on, or what work projects are going on? If you're entering a staff section where they just asked to do a major project for the year, is your platoon getting ready for gunnery, or is there something that they were specifically tasked by the commander to work on as a major project, possibly outside of the regular training schedule? That's critical to find out right away. And this is the last recommendation from the Army Officer's Guide we discussed before, is if you're taking over a staff section, it's to be very, very familiar with your SOP. So not something you need to read and consume before you arrive, but as soon as you get there, that should be the first thing that you start working through, is understanding your staff section SOP and how the battalion as a staff operates. You need to know how you fit into the battalion and your role overall for the unit.
So Dave, I got a question for you. How many times have you shown up to or taken over a new staff job and been tasked by the XO to write an SOP?
I would say the majority of times I've received that during my first week there as a missions to, hey, write this SOP. There is not one that exists, or the old one is from years ago. So that, I think, goes down to knowledge management issues with most units. But yes, that's something to be prepared to start doing too, is memorandums of how you're going to operate and your own specific SOP.
Can you point our listeners to a resource or a community forum where they can find them? Find a good examples of an SOP.
Junior Officer Forum is really the best resource for that. You can get on there and ask for any question for any type of platoon that exists, or any staff section for any type of battalion. Somebody will have that. Somebody will reach out to be able to help you out. But Junior Officer Forum.
I would also, don't hesitate to reach back out to the schoolhouse. Most of the schoolhouse have websites or portals on AKO. I know specifically the Engineer School Knowledge Network on AKO is a great shared site that we can download specific either MTOs or SOPs for different engineer elements. But that's a really good point. I've shown up as an S4 and as an assistant S3, had to rewrite SOPs both times, and didn't want to recreate the wheel. I found a template and created it to my specific, tailored to my specific unit. And I learned a lot by doing that, because you actually have to become the subject matter expert on unit movement operations as an engineer officer. Did not cover that at Bullock, but it was something that as a developmental experience came very valuable to me as a future S4, down the road. So recapping the immediately when you arrive section, I think the overall message we're trying to send here, Dave, is take the time up front on your permissive TDY or when you show up on leave to get your family, get yourself personally settled. So when that first duty day you report to work, you're ready to go. And you're not having to go back to the hospital and fully in process, or find a vet for your dog if you have a dog or a pet. I'm a dog person. I don't like cats. But basically that's the bottom line, is showing up ready to go. You've trained for, in some cases, 4 or 5 years to this point. Let's not have anything delay your ability to be a valued member to the team you've just joined. Okay, so recapping those sections, items to bring, actions to take, educate yourself on the basics, and immediately when you arrive, those sort of personal and family and then professional things to get prepared to lead effectively at the unit level. Dave, thanks for coming back on. It's always a great conversation, and this was a little more of a technical professional education episode that we shared with some of our cadets. Before we close this and wrap this up, do you have anything to add for our audience?
So the last line I came across here in the Army Officer's Guide when David and I were researching this episode, one that stood out to us was in regards to the early duty days. And this is what the Army Officer's Guide, this is the 50th edition from 2005, says. It says, everyone gains when the incoming officer adjusts quickly and is identified by new associates as trustworthy, capable addition to the command. You want to show up and be able to show that you're trustworthy and you're capable, you're competent, and ready to do what you should do. And the bottom line from this part of the Army Officer's Guide is to be confident. You know, your commissioning source identified you as someone who can be trusted, and you should be confident when you show up on day one.
All right, so this wraps up today's Leaders Huddle podcast. In the next episode, we are incredibly excited to interview Army Reserve Major Mike Irwin. Mike is a dynamic leader and is the founder of two successful nonprofits, and we're specifically bringing him in to the huddle to talk about his research on his new book, Lead Yourself First, which was just published this past week as we're recording the week of June 12th. You can connect with us on iTunes and Google Play. That's where you find our podcast. Check out our new Twitter handle, @leaders_huddle, and our Facebook page. Until next time, remembering that elevating your performance and unleashing your potential as a leader takes intentionality and the humility to learn from others. The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.